All right, so so I want to continue on with kind of a series, the supernatural idea series. Because how many of you know that a lot of the stuff that we talk about, when we talk about the supernatural, there's a lot of natural that we do, that we have part to play when we actually experience the supernatural, like praying, amen, like seeking the Lord, right? To be people of faith. There are things that we do. James says it like this. It says, faith without works is dead, right? So there's something that's got to, we use our faith by what we do. So there is a natural part and a supernatural part. Amen? And so I want to just do a quick review about last week. Last week, we talked about there's a way things are in the kingdom. Amen? There's a way things are. And we said this. Last week was Father's Day. So we talked about, it's like a grilling club. Like we are in a grilling club. If you are in a grilling club, that's what you do. There's bylaws for your grilling club. There's things that you do. You talk about grilling. You talk about charcoal. You talk about gas. You talk about all the things. Then you talk about how you prepare the meat when you grill it and how all the different things that you do. And then, but there's other clubs that are out there that are not grilling clubs, right? We talked about the pink collecting club. There are pink collecting clubs that are out there. And they're doing their own thing. But they're not grilling clubs. They do things vastly different than the grilling clubs. Right? So we are the kingdom of God. We are part of the kingdom of God. There's a way things work in the kingdom of God. There is things that we do in the kingdom of God that the rest of the clubs don't do. And that's fine. Let the other clubs do what they want. But we, as the body of Christ, we're going to do things the way we're called to do it. And we talked about last week, one of the things that we do in the body of Christ is that we find our strength, not from other things. We find our strength from God himself, right? Other people don't understand that. That's fine. We do. We do fully understand that we find our strength in God. And like, so we talked about the difference between last week, we talked about difference between relaxing and being replenished by the Spirit of God. There is a place where you can go, like, I love to fish. I can't go fishing tomorrow because they towed my truck away and I can't take my John boat to the lake. But that's another thing. But that is relaxing. That's not necessarily replenishing by the Spirit of God. Unless I add things to fishing that are replenishing, right? So there are things like, man, I'm just going to binge watch this whatever series. That's fine if you want to do that. But understand, give it its proper place. That is not replenishing you by your spirit. That is not going to help you stay strong in a world that's going off the rails. That's not going to cause you to be strong in your spirit man, right? It's going to cause you maybe to have some break, maybe a break from the monotony of the world. Maybe that's true, but it's not going to replenish you by the Spirit. We believe that through scriptures we read last week, it says this. It says, this is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength and his heart turns from the Lord. He will be like a juniper in Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. But the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is indeed in the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by water. He sends out its roots towards the stream. He does not fear when the heat comes. Listen, right now, Christian, believer, it's not a time to be fearful. It's not a time to shrink back. It's not a time to say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about the world? The Bible says, I will not fear when the heat comes because my hope is in him, right? And his foliage remains green. He will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. We can still, under the supernatural power of God, we can produce fruit when all the stuff around us seems like it's dry. We are called because, not because we sit back and we watch our Netflix, not because we slam go through our social media and look, and not because we read all the news, and we not because we do, not because I just need some time alone. Not just because we binge watch our whatever. It's because I have found my strength in Him. Yeah. I have found my hope in Him. And so we ended up last week talking about the most really important part of a believer's life is your personal, this is where it gets into your business, your personal time with God. Your personal time with God. It's vital. Your personal time, if Jesus needed personal time with God, so do you. If Jesus went away to pray, so do you. So, and we talked about all the excuses. If you want to know all the excuses, we talked about them last week. But we talked about prayer. We talked about that a successful quiet time should consist of some Bible reading, some worship. And what is, we're not going to have Eric come up there and, hey, Eric, could you just sing some worship songs to me? That would be really great right about now. And do this song, because this song I really connect with, right? No, it's this time of worship. And all worship is acknowledging the goodness of God and who He is. That's worship. So, and in prayer, invite God into your day. Ask Him for things. Pray for others, right? In those, and that should be part, in some way or another, part of our prayer life. And, we talked about the reasons why we don't do it last week. And, at the end of the day, there was somebody who said it like this. They said, at some point, we're going to have to not do what's easy, but start doing what's right. At some point, we as believers are going to have to start doing the things that are right. Amen. And things that we should do. So I hear it. Okay. Like, I've tried to read my Bible before. And the title of my message this morning is, Help Me, I'm Trying to Read the Bible. How many of y'all say big amen? Help me, I'm trying. So because of that, I understand. And I want to help you. This is very practical this morning. So because the practicalities will lead to the supernatural in your life. I've never said that before. That's straight from the Holy Spirit. The truth. It's true. Obedience to the natural, to the practical, will lead to the supernatural in your life. Tweet that. So we say, I'm trying to remember, I don't understand it. I already know what the Bible talks about. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jeanette. Do you? Because God says that God's help helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. You realize that's not in the Bible? You can't quote chapter and verse that. I don't have time. I don't really get anything out of it. Or this one, I can't really remember the things that I read. So these are the things that that will come at us and keep us from getting into God's word. Not only that, if the distractions that happen as you read your word. I've actually, in my personal study time of my Bible, I have quit trying to read my Bible on my phone. I just quit because I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough because then all of a sudden there's notification pops up. Oh, I need to check that notification. Next thing I know, I'm like, I got to go to work. I've missed my Bible reading time because of distraction. So I've quit. That's just for me. If you want to do it, go for it. Maybe you're stronger than I am. But the importance of God, of the Bible, right? So let me just run through these real quick. The reading of the Bible. It's the Bible. Listen, remember, this is who we are. We are part of the kingdom. She's like, they're actually going to get somebody. We are part of the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. Yeah. We're part of the kingdom. We do things differently than the world, right? Than outside the kingdom. So we believe, I'm going to go ahead and think that all of us are a part of this kingdom. I'm going to talk to you like you're a part of the kingdom. If you're not, we can talk about this later. But we're going to assume that because you're here this morning, you have an interest in the kingdom or you're a part of the kingdom. But this, what I'm talking about this morning, assuming that you're part of the kingdom. Because this is what we believe as Christians. That reading the Bible shows us God's character. The Bible is the definitive source for the answers to to our questions about God. We're Christians. We believe this book. Reading the Bible helps us to renew our minds so that we can know what God's will is. Reading the Bible allows us to be certain of what God says. The Bible is our final authority as a believer. Now, if you're not a Christian, then maybe this doesn't apply to you and apply to the importance of this in your life. I would highly encourage you to allow this book to be the authority in your life, because the Creator wrote it. And the Bible helps us to stay grounded, super important right now, helps us stay grounded in a changing and unstable world. This book. So where do I start? It's a big book. A lot of stuff in this book, right? Let me just break it down really quickly. If you're interested, there's a great series on our YouTube page called Yes, You Can Understand Your Bible. It is, how many weeks was that? Like a million weeks on how to understand your Bible. I encourage you to go back and watch some of those. It's on our YouTube channel. Like 12 weeks on how you, basically, it's a lot of detail. It's a lot of information about how this Bible is put together. What is it about? One of the things that we talk about in that series is that the Bible is a library of books. This is not just one book. It is a library of books, of writings, right? This also is divided into two major, we're getting down to the basics, divided into two major sections. We have the Old Testament, which is the beginning and tells the story of God developing the people of God, the nation of Israel, and a lot of other things, right? But that's the simplest form. The New Testament simply is right before Jesus' birth, his life, right? We have four different accounts of that. And then we have that later on in the New Testament, we talk about the early church. And then there are the letters that the different writers of the leaders of the church would write to either people or groups or churches, right? And so the Bible is also, and then there's a prophetic book prophetic book that talks about the end of the age, and also it's the revelation of Jesus, if you really boil it all down. Actually, that's what it says it is. And then there's also different types of literature that are in this book. And then if we don't understand the different types of literature, it's really important because there's different, I can't get into it. It's different types of literature in the Bible. Actually, 43% of the Bible is narrative, stories, history, right? And parable. And actually, some of them, the narrative is in parable form. Roughly 33% is poetry, songs, reflective poetry, poems within the prophetic part of the literature. And then 24% of the Bible is what we call prose discourse. They include like laws, sermons, letters. They say, well, if this is true, then this is true. And then, of course, if we do this, then we need to do that, right? So there's prose discourse of really good. A lot of the letters are written in prose discourse. Paul is the genius of prose discourse of how he writes. So all of that we understand. But how do we actually get started? And so, like many of you, there's stories that you have in your journey of reading your Bible. But I want to bring up somebody who has really a fascinating, great story of her journey. Come on up, Alyssa. Everybody give Alyssa a hand. Alyssa, why don't you just tell your story? Yep. It's a red light. They'll get you.
Okay. Hi. Oh, here we go. So for me, when I thought about reading the Bible, I got really, really scared. I got really intimidated, and I flat out told Pastor David whenever he was doing the Yes, You Can Read Your Bible, I'm like, but no, I can't, because it's really intimidating. Like, I attributed it to like reading Shakespeare. I didn't understand the language. It was in Old English. Didn't get it. Didn't understand what it was trying to tell me. Knew that there was an important message there, but I wasn't the one who could understand it. I could go to Pastor David and he could read it for me and understand it. I could go to Jessica and she could read it for me and understand it. But little me could not understand the Bible. And that's what I believed it was. And so, like, as I'm starting to get more involved with the church and as I'm trying to, you know, I have people who are like, be a youth leader, come do this, come teach our kids about the Bible. And I'm like, but I don't know the Bible enough to teach it. Again, like, I can't be the one to do this, because if I mess up teaching the Bible, it's not like I mess up teaching math. I know that I can fix that. But if I mess up teaching the Bible, can I fix that?
Right.
And so I got very intimidated and very self-conscious about that, not knowing if I had the ability to properly teach. And that's literally my profession. If you don't know, I'm a teacher. I teach sixth grade math. So literally it's enveloped in me, what this idea of teaching, and I was terrified. I didn't want to do it. And so it took Rachel helping me step out a little bit. She was like, hey, let's start a Bible study with some of our other girls in the church. And we'll just start from there. And then Rachel goes back to the ramp, and it's just me left over. And I'm like, hey, I really like hanging out with you girls. Do you guys want to continue doing this? And we'll read a book of the Bible. Don't know why I said that, because again, I don't like reading the Bible because I'm really scared of it. And they said yes. And so I'm, you know, racking my brain of, oh crap, I've just committed myself to this and I don't know how to do it. God, why did you let me say that? Because you have the ability to tell me no. And so I went to my people. I went to Jessica, I went to Rachel, I went to Pastor David, and I was like, okay, what do I do? How do I do this? And turns out that's the only question I needed to ask was, what do I do? And so for me, identity is a huge part of my story of just realizing who I am in Christ. Sorry. And it's something that I'm so passionate about other people knowing about themselves, that Jessica had said, start with Ephesians. It's a really great book on identity. Mm-hmm. And so we started with Ephesians, and it rocked my world. Just, there's so many parts in Ephesians that's like, God welcomes you at his table. You are a part of his family. You were chosen. Yeah. And it really helped me realize that I wasn't an accident. Like, he saw me. He saw me in my mess. He saw me in my circumstances. And he said, not only are you invited into my house, but I have a place set at the table for you. Like, this wasn't an accident. I knew you were coming, and I already planned for you.
Wow. Wow.
And that was a huge, huge thing for me to realize. And that's all it took. It honestly, like, that led the spark. Once I finally realized, like, okay, it's just me. And this isn't, reading the Bible isn't meant for some secret club that you have to be a part of for like 20 years. And then you finally get to understand it. Like, it's meant for little old me who struggled and didn't really want to read the Bible because I didn't understand it. And I was intimidated out the wazoo by it. And yeah, when I finally realized that I didn't have to be part of the elite to understand what he was telling me, that it is meant for me.
Good.
That's when it finally started opening up. And, you know, Jessica says all the time, the Bible starts interpreting itself once you just start getting into it. And it really does. Like, you know, Dylan was a great part of this. And, you know, within this last year, I read what he calls Georgia Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I read 4 books of the Bible in the last year. Like, this started last July of last year. And within the last year, I've read 4 books of the Bible on my own. You know, that's not something I would have ever done prior to this year, prior to just asking, what do I do? Where can I get started? And again, for me, it was identity. I needed to relive that moment. And so I encourage you, like, find that thing that it is for you. Find, if it's identity, ask your pastor or even Google, what is the best book to read about identity? Or what's the best book to read about forgiveness? Or whatever it is for you. Or if it's just the basic knowledge that you want, you know, where can I start to find the basic knowledge? Google is an amazing tool, fascinating tool that we get to use. But I just asked the questions. And, you know, as I was reading more and more, I just started focusing on a couple of questions of like, okay, what does this passage say about God and who he is? Because the more I understand who he is, the more I can understand about who I am, because I'm made in his image. And so that helped me learn more about my identity and my characteristics, because, you know, if I'm reading it and I'm like, man, God's really funny in this passage, I must be really funny. Like, thank you, parents, who have always said I was not funny. I'm hilarious. You know, or like, man, God has such a compassionate heart in this moment. Like, that must mean I'm compassionate and I'm meant to show compassion to people. And it helped me learn more about me and who I was supposed to be, like the best version of myself that I was supposed to be. And so like, yeah, who is God? And then I started focusing on the promises that he has in there, because he has such great promises for us, guys. Like, it's so good. And so for me, like, it was the one of like, you're welcome in my house. That's a promise that he has for me that, that really covered my heart and helped me understand more about him and what I'm meant to do on this earth. And that's to bring people to him and to know him and his love and, you know, bless the Lord, his mercy on us, you know? So those are two of the questions that I focused on of, you know, what does it say about God and what are the promises he has for me in this passage? And just focusing on those two questions helped me learn more and more about how to read the Bible. Like, it became easy. Something that was gibberish to me before just made sense finally. Yeah. And that was really great. And I'm excited to be able to get to learn more. And I'm now, you know, the type of person that's like, ask me all your questions about the Bible, because most of them I can answer now. And some of them I've gotten really good about saying, man, that's a really great question. Let's figure it out together.
Wow, good.
You know, because again, it's not some secret club. I don't have to go say, oh, let me go figure it out and then I'll get back to you. Or let me go ask this person and then I'll get back to you. Like, we can do this together now.
Yeah,
and that's
so good.
Like, I really just want everybody to understand that you can do this too. I mean, I was so intimidated and now I very much enjoy reading my Bible.
So let me ask you, That's good. So let me ask you, let me ask you a question. So when you, as you're reading, I'm sure you understand every word that you read and understand everything a little bit. So what do you do when you run across passages and things that you're like, I don't even really know what he's talking about in this area? Like, what do you do about that? Do you skip through it and just go on, or do you ask questions of like, what do you do?
Yeah. So for me, I had to figure out what translation worked best for me. And that's the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. That's the translation that I enjoy reading out of the most, but there's still some parts that don't make sense. And so I'll change translations. I usually change to the NLT, New Living Translation. That one just kind of puts it into everyday language for you. It kind of modernizes it, I feel like. And so when I'm struggling with a specific passage, I'll try changing the translations at first, just to see if a new translation makes it more clearer for me. And then if I'm still stumped, you know, I'm a part of a home group that meets almost every week. And, you know, during the summer, we're meeting twice a month. I take it to them. I'm like, hey, I'm reading something. Like, what do you think about this? Or, you know, I'm blessed to be living with Jessica, who went to seminary school. So I can always go downstairs and be like, Jessica, what does this mean? I don't understand. But yeah, no, I ask questions all the time.
That's so good.
I finally got over the hump of like, if I ask, then that means something bad about myself.
Oh, that's really good.
You know,
because really
I used
good.
To be very much like, but if I ask, then they're not going to trust me.
Because
to,
once you
to
trust Jesus, like, you're supposed to know everything.
Yeah. And that's just not true.
That is not true. That's not true. Oh, well, give her a hand. Thank you so much. Good job. Good job. So, yeah. So, actually, this morning, on the tables, I want you to look on the tables, and there is a portion of scripture. We are running good on time, and so we're going to pass out this, just kind of pass those pieces. We're going to do activity this morning. Ooh, didn't know you were going to have to work this morning, did you? So don't read, try not to read the passage right now. Try not to read the passage right now. I want to kind of talk about some things before you read the passage. Can you listen and pass out at the same time? No, you can't, because nobody answered me. If you do not have one yet, raise your hand right where you're at. If you haven't, does everyone have one? Oh. Anybody else not have one? Okay, so here we go. You ready? So here we go. In this scripture, this is 2 Timothy. right? So let me just give you some background about 2 Timothy. Actually, I'm actually doing a deep dive study in 2 Timothy right now. So I'm going very slow, journaling. I've never really been a journaler. I'm actually journaling now and writing. And it's just great. So let me just give you an idea of what's going on. So Paul is the author of, Paul the Apostle is the author of 2 Timothy. Timothy is the person that he's writing to. Timothy was a student of Paul's. It's really like a spiritual son to Paul. So you have a mentor and a mentee type situation going on. So this is later on in Paul's life. This is later on in Timothy's life. Just a side note, Timothy is probably in his mid to late 20s at this point in his life. He's been mentored by Paul for probably a decade or so, give or take. So this is a long time relationship. Interesting that in this scripture, this will kind of, no, I'm not going to say that. Just read it yourself. But in this letter, Paul knows at this point in Paul's life, he is a prisoner for the gospel, and he knows that things are not going well legally for Paul, and he's probably going to be executed for his faith. He realizes that the end is near for Paul. Paul is most likely, and alludes to it in this book, that he's probably going to be executed for his faith. And so I want you to feel that. So here's this guy that he's been mentored for years. This is not the first letter, it's the second letter. That's the word 2 Timothy. So 2 Timothy is at least, at the very least, one of the last communications that he has with this person that he's mentored for all those years. So what would you do? What are the things, this is the way we think. What would you say to your person that you've mentored all these years, knowing that you're about to, and you have allowed this person to grow up, and now Timothy is one of the leaders in the church, right? Because of all the mentoring. So you're like, how do you see that's, you're like, see, David, that's the problem. You know all these things. You know, there's amazing tools out there. One of the tools is the Bible Project. The Bible Project, I agree with about 85% of all of their doctrine. 85% of, that's a lot, actually. I agree with a lot of their stuff, right? We'll just say that. A lot of their stuff. Some stuff I don't agree with, it's fine. But you know what they are great at doing? Every book of the Bible has a video, short, concise, well-done video about what that book's all about. It talks about the background. It talks about what's going on in the story. Why he wrote the book. Who are the people that he wrote the book to? All of these things. And it's in video form. And it's, yes, actually cartoon form. So we can all enjoy it. Amen. So I'm going to give us, we're going to have to take some time and grab a pen. But if you want to grab a pen, I'll give you some time to do that too. Probably should have said that earlier. And I want you in the next 10 minutes, we have time. It's only 11:42. I want you to take, we'll just give you 5 or so minutes. We'll kind of 7 minutes or so, okay? Well, I'll just kind of read the room, okay? And I want you, and do this. On that page, there's these questions to ask. Alyssa kind of alluded to some of the questions. Here's a couple of questions that you can ask. It's on there. Is there a command to obey? Actually, let me just start off. And Alyssa, she went back to the kids' class. Really great. What does this scripture say about God? That's a really great question. It's not on my list. It should have been on my list. Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? And is there a principle, maybe a story, or that maybe not will not fit completely in this passage, but is there a principle, maybe somebody's life story or a parable or those kind of things to follow? Okay. So in that mindset, is there an example to follow? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? Those kind of questions. As you read, keep those kind of, and what does this say about God? And what does this say about me? That's another really good question. Neither one of those are in there. It should have been in there. But read it. Right where you are. Ready? Set? Go. Hey, and for those who are watching online, thank you. Those who are watching online, what we're reading is 2 Timothy, starting with chapter 2 and reading verse 1 through 7. So that's 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. All right. All right. So let's do something that will be fun. Y'all ready? So we're going to take maybe two or three people. Nothing long. Briefly, somebody, what did you get? What's that? From this verse, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I like to say, like, good. So what jumped out at you, I guess? Yeah. From the text, right? Yeah, Wesley? Yeah. So verse 3 to 7, as you said, it kind of talks about how do you avoid apathy. That's good. That's good. What else? Yep. So, not and no more from my family. No, I'm just kidding.
So in verse 5, it says, if anyone thinks he's an athlete, he is not crowned unless he keeps according to rules. So he could do the whole competition, and if you don't do the rules,
ooh,
you can do all your energy and still not get
the crown. Wow. So she said that whenever you, as an athlete, what verse is that in?
Verse 5,
it says when you're an athlete, you're supposed to, the athlete competes according to the rules. So it means if you don't compete according to the rules, you're not going to get a crown for winning, right? And how you can spend all of your energy and not get a crown, right? That's so good. That's so good. What about anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, you get crop. Yeah. Oh, very good. Yeah, that's really good. He says in verse 7, it says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding. So if you're having trouble understanding what you just read, just say, oh, well, the Lord's going to give me understanding. Yeah, you have something? Wow, that's really good. Boom. How about that, you guys? Like, says, consider what I say. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, so she said that in verse 1, for was watching online and maybe you didn't hear, says be strong in the grace. That's a command. That's a command to keep, right? Be strong in the grace. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. 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 Good question. Yeah, be share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, good. He's comparing us to being a soldier. Yeah, no, don't be entangled by, it says don't be entangled by the civilian life, right? We're soldiers. Yeah. Did you have some? Don't get entangled, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yep, Jerry. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. He said in verse 4, it says, talks about that the soldier seeks to please the commanding officer, right? So that's really good. So yeah. In the tech booth. Mm. Yes. Boom, boom. He says they get the word. All those three examples are people who do the work and get the reward later. That's really good. That's good. So, yeah, Eric, you have something? Yeah. We get to share in the. So Eddie, as a hardworking farmer, ought to be the first to share in the crops, right? So, yeah. So we get to share in the crops of the labor that we do. That's awesome. That's good. Yeah. 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 Oh, that's good. Yeah. In order. Yeah. He does operate in an order and justly. So here's the thing. So when God shows you something out of the scripture, then what? Oh, I can't wait to tell somebody. I can't wait. And now I cannot wait to go share that. Man, I can't wait. Nick, you won't believe what I just read. It was amazing. Did you see that there was a farmer, there was a soldier, and then there was a athlete? Did you see the examples? That's amazing, man. I can't wait to teach that. Or, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to show me about me? About me. What is that exposing in me? What is that exposing? Do I live my life as a soldier and seeking not the pleasures of people, but do I live my life in a way that I seek the pleasure of my commanding officer? Right? That's a me thing. And be careful that that's not a them thing. That person over there, their life's in a mess. If they would just read that scripture, then their whole world would be all right. They need that. No. This is your personal time with God, not other people's personal time with God. This is your personal time with God. God, what are you trying to speak to me? Grow me. And let me tell you, that's those three examples. Ain't none of us arrived. None of us have. Actually, when I was reading that last scripture, it says he says the farmer should be the first person. Watch this, Pastor Dave. The first person to share in the crops. You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, David, if you teach it, you need to be the first person to live it out. Boom. You should be the first person to share in those crops that you're preaching. If you're not doing what you're preaching, then you're a hypocrite. All of us are growing. Right? So I need to be. And so the word speaks to us. Remember, this book is not just a religion. This book is alive and active. And it will reveal things in your heart that are wrong before the Lord. It'll reveal things of who you are, as Alyssa said, of who you are in Him. It'll reveal things that you need to separate yourself from the way the other clubs do things. It will reveal to you how you should treat husbands. It tells you exactly how to treat your wives. Right? It is a platform for not just society, for my society and my world. And when I do it, then I can go out and affect the people around me. Because as I live, like, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, who gave his life for her. Right? So many things in our culture right now that we've seen, that when people, men, I'll just say it, when men haven't lived up to their standard of what God says, it's caused repercussions in our culture. Right? So, and number one way is where women got hurt. When men didn't act the way God told them to act, loved and all those things. Right? So these things make a difference. So when I say things like this, listen, church, family. When I say things like this, the only hope for our nation is not the government. It's for people. Listen, listen. I hear you. I know you want to get excited. It's not, we should be involved. We have, when God has given us a right to vote, we need to vote. When God has given us a voice, we need to be a voice, right? But understand, it won't change unless people change. Unless people take this word and apply it to their hearts. That's why, listen, it is one thing to say, I went down and prayed a prayer, and now I'm born again. It's another thing to say, I've surrendered my life to Christ. And it's not my ways, it's His ways. When the Bible, when I don't want to honor my wife as Christ loved the church, God, I choose your ways above my ways. Right? And when, listen, church, we need to be about the book. We need to be and form our lives, not by, listen, the world has all kinds of voices. This is our voice. This is our voice. Amen? Let's all stand together. So much more to say, but I'm not going to say it. Is it 12 o'clock? Yeah, if you want to, you can just come up and just play. We're just going to close. Let me just say this before we, so now what? Let me help you real quick before we leave. One minute. So now what? A good place to start is at the beginning, right? Start from Genesis. Maybe not. I understand. Like, listen, wherever you're at, that's fine. If you're beginning, let me give you some help. Focus on the person of Jesus. Focus on the person of Jesus. Where do you need to start? Remember, this is not just a, it is a long, it is a story, but this whole story leads to Jesus, right? So, a good place to start. A couple of places. John, book of John. Read the book of John. John is the beloved disciple, calls himself his own beloved. He's called himself the beloved disciple. I love that. That's knowing who you are in Jesus. Right? So read John. Read the book of John. Also, another good, one of the other good gospels is Matthew. Matthew is a really good gospel to read. Read the book of Matthew. It's also the account of Jesus. I am a fan of Philippians. I like the book of Philippians. If you want to read a letter, go read the book of Philippians. It's short. It's really, really good. It's if you're really wanting to get challenged, go read James and let James read your mail. James is pretty clear about a lot of things, and James doesn't mince his words. So what about some helps? Real quick, don't forget the Bible Project. Bible Project's a really good resource, right? There is a really good resource. If you're wondering, I will open myself up. Like Jessica and I will open ourselves up. We are a resource to you. Ask us, talk to us, phone call. Hey, David, hey, I'd like to meet you and meet with you and talk to you about the book of John. Come on. Yes, 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 please. Yes, please. Dream come true. Let me do it, right? And pray I won't talk too much. Also, read your Bible slow. Read it slow. Allow moments for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Before you read, pray. Ask the writer of the book to explain the book to you. The Holy Spirit will show you things. Read it slow, because then when you take it in, you'll be able to process it and live it out. Amen. Also, when you read your devotionals, don't just breeze over the scriptures. A lot of times, if you're like me, you'll read those devotionals. Oh, man, there's so much out of that devotional. Oh, yeah, there's a scripture attached. No. The word is the word. Right? Be careful of that. Don't just barely give some time to a passing glance to a scripture that, you know, told you why you should think all the things that this author wrote, right? Devotions are great, but I want to challenge you. Read your Bibles. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every person that sounded my voice. Father, I pray that they would know your word. Father, I pray, God, that they would seek after you. Father, I pray that even the person that's listening to me or even in this room, that they're struggling even in their own faith and what they believe in. God, I pray that as they open your word, God, you would speak to them. Lord, draw people to yourself. We honor you. Just pray this. Put your hand on your heart.
You say, God, help me to read your word. Be a person of the book. And transform me as you renew my mind through scripture. And I know it's not just on me. I trust the Holy Spirit to speak to me in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You guys have an amazing, amazing week. We are going to have our...